Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. Thanksgiving, a fairly uneventful Thanksgiving. A little excitement up at the Magandans' home. Mrs. Magandans was leaning over to pin a little pinafore on her granddaughter, Rebecca, and her hair came right up next to the candle, which was there, and it caught on fire. And there was this big bluish flame all around her head. Evidently, it's something she puts in the rinse. And it was an eerie sight, and people yelled, of course, and somebody called the fire department, and they put it out with a wet towel. There's kind of a bad smell in the air, and there's a lot of excitement. And then the fire department, all the men drove down to the fire barn, of course, and they were there in about 6 minutes and seven. They put on their boots and their slickers, and we heard the sirens and the alarm going off and the truck rolling up to the Magandans' house. And Mr. Magandans thought how embarrassing it was that now these men went to all this trouble to come up to the house, and the fire was out and things were sort of calmed down. But there was still some commotion around, and he took a bottle of brandy into the kitchen. All the women had left. People were waving wet towels around, and people were trying to call 911 to tell them not to come. But here came the fire truck. So he poured brandy into the turkey tray there in the oven, and he lit it, and this big poof went off. And the curtains caught fire, and tablecloth caught fire, and the fire department came in with a high-pressure hose and just blasted the kitchen, and that was the end of their Thanksgiving. Everything was all over. Water was 6 inches deep on the floor, and people sobbing and weeping. The Bunsens came over from next door. And Mrs. Bunsen, Arlene, saw this turmoil. They've never cared for the Magandanses. They've been a decades-long freeze-out of the Bunsens, and her heart leaped to see this catastrophe. And then, of course, she felt ashamed for having felt that way about her own neighbor, and so she invited the Magandanses over to their house and discovered that a lot of the food was still good and the turkey was still basically all right. They just had to tip it up and empty out the water, And the buns were in the oven, so to speak, and they were perfectly good, and the potatoes were fine. So they took everything next door over to the Bunsens, and she put three extra leaves in the table, and they got them all around there, and the Magandanses and their daughter Diane was there with her little kids, who sound croupy, but maybe not. And Barbara Ann Bunsen and her husband Bill, who've been on the verge of divorce now for, 20 years or so, And it was all right. For people who haven't gotten along all these years, they sat around and they got along. As long as they stayed off the subject of you know what, they were okay. It was quite amiable, and nobody brought up you know what. And Mrs. Bunsen did discover a plastic bag inside the Magandanses' turkey. She didn't mention that. No problem. Things do sort of turn out all right if you just don't get in their way. Things do turn out somehow in the end. Clint Bunsen last Sunday was driving out to the Burgies to pick up the cinnamon rolls that the Burgies had made for the fellowship hour at the Lutheran Church, and they were sick, and so he had to go get them, and he was driving a little faster than he should. It had snowed on Saturday, and he took that curve a little fast coming around the lake, and he skidded off. He hit the brakes and nothing happened, and he skidded off the road and onto this sort of slippery field, and he knocked down a snow fence, not a problem, and then he hit the pole that the Moonlight Bay Supper Club sign is on, and suddenly the bubbles, the neon bubbles that come out of the little neon cocktail glass on the Moonlight Bay sign started lighting up again. He couldn't remember the last time he had seen those bubbles light yellow and green. He just felt it was a sign of something, though it was hard to bring this up when he came back to adult Bible study class. There just didn't seem to be a way to mention it. And the gospel that morning was Jesus saying, whatsoever ye do unto the least of these, ye do for me. And this didn't seem to be that relevant. But things do sort of come out all right. Corinne Tollerud came home from St. Olaf College. She had said she wasn't going to come home. She was going to stay on campus over Thanksgiving, and her family didn't press her on the issue, though they agonized over it. And then she just came home. She drove home on Thursday morning, and she was just fine. She had said there was a big secret, and the secret turned out to be that she was changing her major from religion to business. They had imagined all sorts of things, that she had fallen in love with somebody she met online, and this person was on death row for some heinous crime that she was now convinced he was innocent of, and she was going to spend the next 10 years trying to win his acquittal. But no, there she was. She just had changed her major from religion to business. Things sort of work out if you allow them to. She sat down at the piano, and she played, which she hadn't played for a long time. She played through the hymnal. She played Children of the Heavenly Father. She played Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide, and Now the Day is Over, Night is Drawing Nigh, The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, is Ended. She played through all of these hymns, and she played through them so beautifully, Marilyn thought, sitting there listening to her daughter play music, played them so much better now that she is not trying to play them perfectly. She does better. Marilyn did not compliment her daughter, of course, on her playing, because that would have made her stop. When you compliment a Lutheran, it troubles them. She just listened to it. Marilyn, who was a Svensson before she married Daryl Tollerud, she was and is one of the most beautiful women in Lake Wobegon. Those Svensson girls, boys, gave up all other entertainment to go to dances in hopes of dancing with one of the Svensson girls, who were very loose and easy and friendly in a way that most women were not back in the day. They'd put their hands on your shoulder. You'd be sitting there next to a Svensson, and she'd put her hand on your knee, and just in a friendly sort of a way. They loved to dance, and they loved to have a good time, and they would smile at you in a way that raised all sorts of hopes in your heart. So boys would be dancing with the Svenssons, and then other boys would tap you on the shoulder, and they'd say, hey, you left your car running out in the parking lot, and the motor's on and the headlights are on. Better take care of that. And then they'd follow you out to the parking lot, and they'd throw you down on the gravel because they were so furious you were dancing with the girl they thought was their girl. They inspired a lot of fights in parking lots, men out there, as the music played and the Svenssons were dancing, there were men struggling out in the dark. They were rolling around in the gravel and tearing each other's shirts off, and they were kicking and gouging, leaving marks that have lasted now decades. There are men who walk with a limp in Lake Wobegon because they fought for a Svensson. And there they were battling out in the parking lot. And that's how Daryl Tollerud married her. He came in late. He came late to a dance, and he didn't look at Marilyn at all. And she noticed that. He didn't pay any attention to her. And she went and sat by him, and she asked if he wanted to dance, and he didn't say anything. And she put her hand on his leg, and he didn't say anything. She thought that was so cool. It really got her attention. So they danced for a while, and then he said, I've got to head home. She said, well, let me come with you. And she went with him in his car. And that's how their love affair started, was leaving a dance early. Other men struggling, pounding on each other. They drove away in a car. He was worried. He was worried that he had driven into this sign by the Moonlight Bay Supper Club, and he'd hit it, and the circuitry crackled. And he noticed that the bubbles were not lighting above the neon cocktail glass. And he went in and he told Walt. And Walt said, well, I'll take care of it. But Walt didn't. For 26 years. Until Clint Bunsen drove into it on Sunday. And the bubbles started coming up again. It comes out all right, you see. It just takes a while. Thanksgiving, I finally come to terms with that all of my attempts to make turkey into a gourmet dish were just wasted, just pounding sand down a rat hole, just digging a hole for yourself. You bring out the oysters on the half shell and the little watercress salad, and they sit down to that. And then it's hard to bring out the other six courses, just bing, 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 you know? So there's a long time in between courses. And then you bring out your salad course, and then you bring out your seafood course, and your hair is pasted to your head, and the sink is just piled high with dishes and pots and pans, and you're frantic, and other people are having a wonderful time. And there's about half an hour between the seafood course and the turkey course, half an hour during which all your guests have two or three glasses of Pinot Noir, and they're laughing and laughing, and they've got their arms around each other, and you're just suffering. You're having no fun at all. This is the lesson of Thanksgiving past. You try to make a perfect meal, and you're just setting a high standard for your own children. You're laying the groundwork for them to feel frustrated for the rest of their lives. The children of great chefs are attracted to the drive-up window. But you put a little Swanson's TV turkey dinner in front of your kids on Thanksgiving, it ignites their ambition to do better. Keep that in mind. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.